John chapter 17, there on the sheet. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you my glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them."
Right, well, as we start, let me ask you a question. Why are you here? And I don't mean in this restaurant. I don't mean having lunch here. I mean, why are you here on this earth? What is your purpose? What's the purpose of being here? That's the question I was asked a few weeks ago at Christianity Explored. Of course, I was running. What's the purpose? Why are we here? What's your life work? Why do you come into work this morning? Let's push that a little bit further. How has that been seen in your life the past 7 hours? I don't know what time you got up this morning, but so far it might have been 7 hours, whatever it's been. How has that purpose been seen in your life? Because that's what we're going to be looking at. That's what Jesus' prayer is about. It's about the big picture. It is about why we're here, and it's about what it looks like for us to live out that purpose. And the first, well, Jesus' answer to that is the first point on your sheet. If you turn with me. Point one says, we're a part of God's team. If we are playing up at the road at the Emirates for Arsenal, we'd have the red jersey on. As God's team, our jersey is red for a whole different reason, and far more to do with nails and a cross than it is to do with football. But we're part of God's team. And not just that, we have a captain. We're part of God's team with a captain set on giving eternal life. That is why he's come. Have a look down at the verses with me. You see right in verse 1, he starts his prayer to his father. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. He's got one last play in history, one last run of the match of history, and it's going to be a glorious one. The time has come for it. And what's it going to achieve? We'll look down at verse 2. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is reaffirming it here, isn't he? He's saying, this is why I've come. This is the work that the Father has given me to do, to give people eternal life. And how does he explain eternal life? Well, verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That we might be in a relationship with God. That is what eternal life is. To be in a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and his Son. And the problem is, as many of you know, that we have been cut off from that relationship. But because we've totally ignored his Son, totally ignored the Father, and rejected them both, and lived life the way we want to live it. There's a huge chasm between us and a relationship with the Father. And that is why Jesus had to play out the last glory play of the match, if you like, in his time on earth. Verse 1, when it says, Father, the time has come. It's a reference that's used all the way through John's Gospel that's talking about the cross and his resurrection. Up until that point, the time hadn't come. But now the time has come. The last play is ready. Jesus is going to the cross, and after that to be raised. And right from the beginning of John's Gospel, he was showing people the glory of the Father. And right at the beginning of the Gospel, you have it explained that he's come to show the glory of the Father, to show the grace and truth of his Father. And that is exactly what happens at the cross and the resurrection. When Jesus is nailed up there on the cross, he is revealing to all the amazing love that the Father has for us, the grace he has for us, that he is willing to give his Son to death for us, that we might become into a relationship with him. Something that Jesus has done, not something that we do. Jesus is the one who dies instead of us, so we don't have to die. Jesus is the one who is judged, so we don't have to be judged. He does it so that he can give us eternal life. Not that we might have to earn it, but that he can give it. Give us that life, give us that relationship with the Father. But not just that, he is raised from the dead as well. To show that when he says, through John's Gospel, that he is going to raise to life again and be able to raise everybody else to life again, well, that is true. To show that he can give eternal life, not just life now, but eternal life that can go through the grave. And as we see him raised from the dead, we have evidence beyond doubt that he is who he says he is, that he's from the Father, that he is God, the only one who can defeat death. And he can do what he says he will do, which is raise people to life and have an eternal life with the Father. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to bridge the gap, that chasm between us and God, and do it for eternity. Do you see the point? We have a captain, and he set his purpose, his course in life, on giving people eternal life. It's why he came, it's why he died, it's why he rose to life again. That was his one purpose. And here in John 17, Jesus prays that it would be our purpose too. That's the second point, or sub-point on your sheet. We're part of God's team with others, all united in that one purpose. To give people eternal life. That is the one purpose that unites us all. You see it in the passage that we've got before us. That he first turns to the disciples, to the apostles. And he prays for them in verses 6 to 19. And he says, I have given them the word, and they become part of the team. Have a look with me at verse 17. Oh, let's have a look at verse 11 first. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. All the way through John's Gospel, we've seen that the Father and the Son are one. They have the same purpose. The Son does the Father's will, which is to give eternal life to people. Well, now the apostles are part of that team. They are now one. One with that message, one with that purpose. To give eternal life to people. When you get down to verse 17 and Jesus is praying that they might be sanctified. Sanctified in John's Gospel is sanctified, set apart for mission. And you see that in verse 18. As you sent me into this world, remember John 3:16, to give eternal life. As you sent me into this world, I have sent them into the world. Jesus is going, but the apostles are still around. Jesus' work is finished of giving people eternal life, but the baton has been passed on to his apostles to carry on that purpose of giving people eternal life, of proclaiming the message that he proclaimed, of his cross and his resurrection. We've seen through this part of John's Gospel that Jesus is going to give them the Spirit to enable them to remember his words and give them courage to proclaim them. And as they proclaim them, to enable those words to convict people and change people's hearts and bring them into relationship with the Father. That is their work. You can see in the diagram, they've been joined in to be part of that unit, to be part of that purpose. But rather frighteningly, it doesn't stop there. You see, we might say, well, fair enough, it's the apostles' job. We've seen it's their job. There are people who gave up everything, who sacrificed everything to be hated by the world, to declare the message that people used to hate and would kill them for, and ultimately some of them were crucified for. Yes, we can see it's their job, but rather uncomfortably, the circle widens. And Jesus starts praying for us in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. If you have believed, that's you. Jesus here is praying for you. And look what he prays. It's rather uncomfortable. Verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. That's the message of the cross and resurrection. That they may be one as we are one. Oh, we're part of the team. Verse 23. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. For what purpose? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What is our job? Our purpose? Well, it's the purpose of Christ, it's the purpose of the apostles, it's the purpose of all of us who know the Father, who've been brought into that relationship, who've heard the good news of the gospel. It's to give people eternal life. That is our purpose. That is why we're here. And it's an issue because a lot of us have sort of taken on board the idea that to become a Christian, well, it's us to have peace with the world, peace with God, and it's to sort of kick back and sail on the yacht of the Christian experience. We've believed the lie that coming to work is not so much about putting bread on the table and providing for other people. Coming to work is where we find our identity. It's where we put the mojito in our hand and the sand between our toes. That's why we come to work. We believe that lie. And Jesus is saying, as he said right at the start of this section of John's Gospel in John 13, he said, well, a servant is no greater than his master. A messenger is no greater than the one who sent him in John 13, verse 16. You are no greater than Jesus, no greater than the apostles. You have the same job, the same purpose in life. And that is to give eternal life to those around you. You see, the picture is not of a yacht sailing blissfully through the Mediterranean. The picture is of a lifeboat in a horrendous storm with everybody on the edge of it throwing out the life rings and pulling with all their might to bring people in to the safety of the lifeboat. Blood on their hands as they're straining at the rope. Blood on their side as they're pushed against the side of the boat. Sweat in their brow. That is what the picture of the Christian life. It's a picture of a lifeboat with all hands on deck, all hands at the edge of the deck, pulling people to safety, to eternal life. That is our purpose. We're part of God's team. Now, I want us to take a moment to think about what that looks like in the last 7 hours, or perhaps should have looked like in the last 7 hours of our life. We know our purpose. Jesus is praying for us. Our captain is not just declaring it to us, he's praying to the Father for us that we might live that out. That purpose of giving eternal life to the world. What is it going to look like? It's our second point on our sheets. How is it going to be seen in our life? Well, first, our life is a life of ministry. Right at the start, as I said, of this section of John's Gospel is chapter 13. And Jesus there gave them a visual picture of what life was to be like. In John 13, you can read it later, he demonstrates it for them. He gives them example. And he washes their feet. Their master serves them and washes their feet. And that is what our life is to be like. We're to have a life of service, a life of ministry. Verse 23 declares it like this. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, we've been given in chapter 13 a picture of what life is to be like. And now in chapter 17, that's filled with context of what our service is to look like. And it's to look like, well, proclaiming the gospel to people so that they might be brought to life, to have that life. That's how we came to life, verse 20, when the message was heard and believed by us. That is what we're to be doing, just as the apostles did. That is our job, just as it was Christ's job. And verse 23, it is as we proclaim to people that Jesus has definitely raised to life again, that they will believe that he was sent from the Father, and that he has to be the Son of God, that he has to be God. Because nobody can have the balls of claiming that he is going to raise from the dead and then actually bring it about without being God. Only God can defeat death. And God declares that the one who he raises to life is the Lord, the King of all ages, God himself. And as we declare to people about the cross of Jesus dying in their place instead of them, well, people will see how much God loves us and indeed how much he loves them. That he is willing to send his son to die for them, that they might have life and not be judged eternally in hell. He's willing to sacrifice his son himself for that. His son is willing to go to death for us to bring us to eternal life. What? That is love, isn't it? And as we declare that, people will see it. Not in our strength, but in the Spirit's strength that Jesus will give us, or has given us now. What's that going to look like? If that is to be the game plan for every day of our life, as we wake up in the morning, we think that is the job spec, that is the plan for our life, what's it to look like? Well, I guess it's going to look like finding time in your day to have conversation with your colleagues about Christ. Finding time to get away for lunch. Yes, here, but elsewhere, so you can have those conversations, going out for coffee, and time, go back later in the evening, home, to go out to people, to the pub, to have conversations with them. To go home and not just sit back in front of the TV, but to again, have conversations with people who live around you, your neighbours at home. To see the weekend as a time of service, not a time of doing what you want. No, a time of doing what God wants, his will, of reaching out to people around where you live. I guess it might look like downsizing. It's not a trendy term, I suppose, but downsizing our careers. Putting a stall button on our careers and saying no more. No, I'm not going to raise up higher in that ladder because I want time, mental capacity myself to think, time in the day to act and be able to give eternal life to people, to spend that time. It might look like I'm downsizing the house you live in, or at least not upsizing it, so that you have the funds, not just to provide bread for your table, but for other people's table. And indeed, you might provide money for people to go out and tell people the gospel and be missionaries or whatever it might be. It might look like that. It might look like friends of mine at church. One of them I can think of. She has been trained up as a gospel worker, gone and studied, and then she's gone back into work, and she has purposefully taken a career choice and a job that is far below her. Purposefully, actively did it. Not pushed into it, wanted to do it. And we're not talking about, Bill Gates working for PC, your local PC World, but she actively chose something that was below her so that she had time, mental capacity and time to read one-to-one with people, to talk to people, to get alongside people, to tell them about Christ. Another person who's been training up at the moment, next year, he's going back into work, and he's only going to work 4 days a week. He's going to take the pay cut that comes along with that. But he's going to work 4 days a week so he can work at church as well and have the time, well, to do what God wants him to do. To be part of God's team and to give eternal life to people. But the reason we do it, look down the last point, and this is where we're going to end. Our life is a life of ministry because it is a life of love. Now, all round this verse 23 is just an amazing description of where we are, of our relationship with the Father, now that some of us here have come to trust in Christ. It's an awesome picture. Let me read to you just verse 22 and the start of verse 23. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Can you grasp what he's talking about? Spend today thinking about it. You know, have time in your day to think about this. Let me read it again. That they may be one as we are one, that's the Father and the Son, God himself, I, Jesus, in them, and you, the Father, in me, the Son. Do you see that picture? Jesus has given us eternal life and brought us into the relationship that the Father has with the Son from all eternity. That loving, perfect relationship. We have been brought into it. Into that type of love. That degree of love. And it's not a static relationship. Look at verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you love me before the creation of the world. He wants us, and he will get us at the end of the day to see his glory face to face and experience his love face to face, physically, personally. And it's not just in the future, it's now, verse 26. Have a look. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. As Christ by his Spirit, through us talking to each other, enables us to get to know Christ better and so the Father better, we're experiencing his love for us more. And his love is in us. That love that declared that he has sent his Son into the world, as he loved the world, so that whoever believes in his Son might not perish but have eternal life. That love is in us. Well, so the response, the only right response, if we're to be loved like that and have that sort of love in us, is to respond like Christ responded. And it's to go to work and to love people at work, not yourself, but others around you. To go to work to serve them, just as Jesus willingly did amazing miracles to people, to heal them, to serve them. We're to go into our offices with that sort of attitude in our minds, helping other people to do their job. Not begrudgingly, but willingly, lovingly. But not just that, our love is to be to love the Father as he loved us. Just as Jesus longed for the Father to be glorified, to be seen as great as he is, that is to be our passion at work. And it's to pain us when we see people disregarding God and neglecting him. It is to pain us in deep in our hearts. But not just that. If God's love is seen by him sending his Son into the world, giving his Son to death, that people might have eternal life. Well, surely our love for people is to be seen in doing the same work, telling them about Christ, of all that he has done, that they might have eternal life. You see, let me put it really in a corny way for you. There is nothing that says I love you as much as giving somebody eternal life. That is the picture. If we know we've been loved, if we have that love in us, let us love like that, just as Christ has done. So as we end, we have one purpose in life. It's to give eternal life, because we're part of God's team, part of God's family, because we've been loved by God. So let me urge you, as much as I can, as much as Jesus has prayed for you that you would, that you don't waste your life. You've only got one of them. Don't waste it, but give it sacrificially, wholeheartedly, to this one purpose of giving other people eternal life, of running to the edge of the lifeboat, of throwing the life ring over and pulling with all your might, that people around you, your friends and colleagues, might be saved and might have eternal life and know the Father just as you do. Well, as we end, let's pray. Father, we praise you that you have not left us alone, but we have your Holy Spirit. We praise you that as you've given us this job, this purpose in life, we have your Spirit in us, Father, and the words that he gives us that are in your word, the Bible. Please give us the courage, the love, to go out and give others eternal life, just as we have received it ourselves. Please, Father, may we have one purpose in life, one purpose that we're willing to give all for. And may it be an eternal one, Father, we pray. Please enable us. In your Son's name. Amen.